is needful for this hour in which we live. It's encouraging to the saints of God to lift us up. And the question is it vain to serve God? Is it vain to serve God? A lot of people today think that it's vain to serve God. And as we finish this morning, I hope you will leave here knowing that it's not vain to serve the true and living God. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, begin reading with verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then, verse 18, shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And I just want to say, beloved, remember, these are the words of the true and living God. These statements are true. And as we go through this morning, I pray that you will listen and take heed to God's message to you. May we pray. Our Father, as we bow before Your Majesty, remembering that we are nothing but the dust of the earth, we pray that the Holy Spirit will take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pierce into our hearts this morning. Lift us up, encourage us, strengthen us, build up the saints, and effect that which is needed this morning in the hearts of Your people. And bless us, Lord, with Your presence. May the Holy Spirit open up our hearts and minds to receive the engrafted Word, which is able to deliver us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, David in the Psalms had a problem understanding the prosperity of the wicked. And if you look at the age in which we're living, the age of Hollywood, the age of sports, the age of ballplayers making millions of dollars, movie stars making millions of dollars, their glamour, the glorious, the singers, the country singers, the rap singers, and all these other rock and roll groups and people are making so much money, and they glory this in TVs and in the newspapers and magazines, glorying in this world. Nothing about God. All is about now. And I was thinking about that, and this is what I want us to think about. That our young people, and even we as adults, can sometimes get bewitched by the world. The glamour, the scenes, the glory of the world, the things of the world, has such an attraction to all of us that we have to guard against that. You know, John said in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And beloved, that's not such an easy task. As we think about this morning, the message I want to think about, there's two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. And you're either in one or the other. There is no middle ground. You can't straddle the fence and say, I'm not on either side. Yes, you're following the kingdom of God, or you're following the kingdom of Satan. One or the other. There's two leaders, basically, in this world. You're either following the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're following the devil. It's that simple. There is, again, there's no straddling the fence. You're not saying, well, I'm just going to stay neutral. No, there's no neutral. Jesus says you're either with me or against me. If you're not with Him, you're against Him. There's two servants. There's the servants of God who are serving the true and living God. then there's the servants of the devil, Beelzebub, who are serving him in this world. There's two destinations. Your final destination will be either eternal glory or eternal damnation. It's which kingdom are you following? Which king are you serving? Whose servants are you? You're either living for that world or you're living for this world. Because Jesus, in that world, they needed marriage or giving in marriage. So as we think about the message this morning, this is very serious. It's something we need to think upon, something we need to meditate upon. And it's here to encourage the saints and to warn those who are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to read a couple verses thinking about the servants of the living and true God. Peter in 1 Peter 1:14 makes this statement, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." And Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 9, says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God from idols." And remember in Ephesus and Thessalonians, they had all the idol worship. And when the gospel came in, the gospel made an effect on people's lives. They turned from the idols of worship and turned, it says, and turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There's many gods in the world, small g. There's many who claim to be God. There's many false prophets in the world. As you think about the warfare that's going on today spiritually in this nation and in the world with the religion of Muslims. And Muhammad taught and rejected Jesus Christ being God. He was a good man. But he rejected the Trinity. The Quran rejects the Trinity, rejects God, and Christianity is an infidel to them. If you want to read something very enlightening to that, I have a new book that I put on our internet site under the PDF files by James Aberdee on the deity of Jesus Christ. If you have a computer, download that and read it. It's very enlightening what's going on today. It's been going on for centuries. It's a spiritual warfare. There's many today, beloved, are not serving the true and living God. The servants of the God of this world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world," small g, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." There's a veil over their eyes. They cannot see. They cannot hear. They cannot understand spiritual things. A man who's born in this world depraved has been blinded since the fall. At least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And Paul says in Ephesians 2:2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Every one of us in the past, before we were born again, before we were changed, walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince and power. Every one of us. According to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. His spirit, the spirit of Satan, is working in the children of disobedience, in the evil of this world. Hollywood, with all its glamour, what spirit is working in that? It's not the spirit of God, it's the spirit of Beelzebub. All the glamour. Now, I'm not against sports, per se. But again, the sports world, when do they have their sports? On the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. And they glamour all the money that they can make. And all the singers. There's nothing wrong with singing. But everything is becoming riches. Covetousness. Riches. More. 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 They're living for now. They're living for this world. But the servants of God, the servants who are serving the true and living God, have a different testimony. I just read the one in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. How you turn to God from idols to serve the true and living God. If you this morning are professing to be a believer in Jesus Christ, then you should be following and serving the true and living God. Not Hinduism. Not Mohammed. Not Muslim religion. All the other religions of the world. But we're serving the true and living God, Jesus Christ, who is the author of Christianity. He's the God of Christianity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Triune God. If there's no triune God, then there's no Christianity. Beloved, we serve the true and living God. Paul says in Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Who do we serve? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be thrilled this morning that we've had the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor. What a privilege to be servants in this world, which we're strangers and pilgrims, that we can serve the true and living God. Aren't you glad you're not serving Satan in the sense of devil worship, like this one who's in California, Roger mentioned this morning, who's head of the satanic religion? You can be worshiping him. You can be following him right straight on into hell. Be grateful that you're serving the true and living God. All of those who deny Jesus Christ, all unbelievers, all those living in wickedness and ungodliness are serving the God of this world, whether they know it or not. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. All unbelievers are blinded. At least the light of the glorious cross of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Blinded. Blinded. It takes a supernatural power to take people from darkness to light. Some people say, well, when I get ready to serve God, I'll believe and be saved. It's not that easy. You're blinded. You're dead in trespasses and sins. It's not a mental gymnastics where you just mentally say, I believe. It's a change of the heart. It's a change of the soul. It's a repentant heart. It's a change of your moral character. And it takes God to do that. But thank God we have the comfort of the Scriptures as children of God. And all these books of Genesis to Malachi, and the Word of God was written for our comfort. Paul said in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We need to study the Word of God, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He says in another in Corinthians, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonitions upon which the ends of the world are come. The things of God are written in the Old Testament for our learning and for our examples. When God brought down judgment upon sin, it's there, it's recorded to teach you and I His hatred for sin. And looking at our text in Malachi 3:14, you have said it is vain to serve God. There's so many people think, oh, why do you get up on Sunday morning and go to church? Why do you go Wednesday evenings and go to church? Why do you read the Bible? I had a man tell me one time at work, he said, why don't you leave that for the priest? I told him, well, you know, the reason I read the Word of God, I have a search warrant. You know, he looked at me kind of funny. And I said, what do you mean you have a search warrant? I said, Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. I have the authority of God to search the Scriptures. And I want to encourage you to search the Scriptures. You have said it is vain to serve God. And this is very difficult today in which we're living. Young people especially, I lost one of my dearest friends when I became a Christian. I met him a few years later, and I was sharing my testimony with him, and he wanted no part of our friendship anymore. He was 20, I would say around 20 years of age. We departed, and we've never spoke or seen each other since. I don't know what happened in his life, but he wanted no part of Christianity. But it makes a division in your life. It makes a division. And a lot of people will tell you, oh, it's vain to serve God. Look what you're losing. Look what you're giving up. We're having a great time. Look at you. But before I finish this morning, I hope you see that what you're giving up is nothing. And the second point in these verses in Malachi, and now we call the proud happy. Malachi 3:15. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Look at the TVs today. Wickedness is set up. Immorality. TV can be a wonderful thing, but it has become a degrading, sinful vehicle to destroy the minds of young people, adults, and the people of God. And I don't have to say too much about that. You know what I'm talking about. Every lifestyle you can think of is showed on TV. They're promoting every wicked lifestyle that you can think. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, covetousness, wickedness to every extreme, witchcraft. Everything that you can think of is being put into your vision, into the eyes, into the ears. And the Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And beloved, I don't care if it's I or you, all of us, we have to guard against that. Because we can all be influenced. And I know we all like to sit back, relax, watch TV occasionally. I do it myself. But you've got to be careful what you watch. There's so much on there that's degrading. And the third point in Malachi is, then shall you return and discern. 3:18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I hope and pray this morning before we end that you can see the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. There will be a difference. There's coming a day of judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. After death, judgment. And you don't hear much about that today. Now and then. In the present world, they call the proud happy. Now they call them happy. Even the wicked are set up. Look in the world today. Even our government. Look how corrupt it's becoming. The servants of this world, we're going to look at a few cases. The rich fool. It's found in Luke 12:13-21. It's the story of a man who was rich. But he was living only for this world. And he said, I'm going to tear down all my barns and make bigger ones. And I'm going to take all my riches and just fill these barns full of all the things that I have. More and more. No thought of God, no thought of hell, no thought of heaven. Just living for the present now. Everything. He lived only for now. How many of our age, and even ourselves, have to be careful that we don't live just for now, just for the present? And what was God's answer to this person? He says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall all these things belong to? He was foolish. He lived only for the present. And I know when we're young, our minds are... we're going through a change in adulthood and growing. But you need to stop and ask yourself, what is my goal in life? What is my motivation in life? What am I living for? What is it all about? It's about whom are you serving? Are you serving the God of this world? And if you're not with Christ, you're against Him. You're serving the God of this world. It's that simple. We don't want to admit, people don't want to admit that. I'm not against God, and I'm not against Satan. I'm just serving myself. No, you're either with God or against God. There is no neutral ground. The rich fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And beloved, none of us know the day or the hour of our death. You can be young, you can be middle-aged, and you can be old, and go in a moment. God can call us out of this world. Through a death, through a stroke, through an accident. There's so many young people dying of accidents. The prosperity of the wicked. Ecclesiastes says in chapter 5, verse 14, "But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand." What did Paul say? We brought nothing into the world, and we're taking nothing out. And beloved, we live and we labor and we do everything to gain of this world goods and lay it up in this world. And Paul says, we're taking nothing out. Nothing. Whether you've got $1,000 in the bank or $5 million in the bank, when you die, it all stays behind, beloved. The rich man and Lazarus. You know the story? The rich man was at his table and feasted, and he lived for the moment. He had his pot roast, and he had his turkey, and he had his ham, and he had everything luxurious living, and he had all his servants. And Lazarus just wanted a crumb to fall from the table. Poor beggar. That was now, at that present time. Then the death angel came, and they both died. After death, the judgment. And the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Again, you see that having everything in this world, like all the glory that you see of the movie stars, the ball players, and all these people making all this money, rap singers, and their all their glory and parading around, everything that glitters is not gold. The Word of God says that riches lead to many temptations. The psalmist says, don't give me enough that I won't be a beggar, where I won't forget, and keep me humble so I don't forget God. See, usually when people prosper, who do they forget? God. The rich man. And a parable was to illustrate truth. There's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. And you know the story of the rich young ruler who had wanted to follow Christ. A young man. But he had many riches. He wasn't willing. Jesus told him to give what you have to the poor and follow me. But he couldn't do that. He loved riches more than Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But here's the truth about riches. Mark 10:23. "And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The reason is because those, mostly unless you've been converted, been born again and changed, you live for present. You live for your riches. He goes on to say, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? That's the difference. Trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And we have to make sure that we as Christians are not trusting in riches. We can have faith in our riches and not have faith in God. So, I have faith in God to take care of me. But all the time, we're depending upon our savings and our bank accounts. As long as your trust is in the right place in God, God will bless the riches to your service in His kingdom. But most of the world live only for the riches. They don't lay up treasures in heaven. They don't give to the Lord's church. They don't help feed the poor. They don't do things to prosper the kingdom of God. The pleasures of sin for a season. And that's true. There is pleasure in sin. If it wasn't, people wouldn't do it. They wouldn't be committing sin. There's pleasure. They enjoy it. Speaking about Moses, it says in Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, to all of us there's pleasure in sin. Every act of sin brings a fleshly pleasure. Not godly, but fleshly. Paul said in Romans 1:32, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And there he gave a long list of sins in Romans chapter 1. Adultery, fornication, evilness, homosexuality. And God says, not only are they deserving death, but all those who have pleasure in them that do the same. Today in our country, our government, and so many people are supporting gay rights. God hates evil. And beloved, this is going to bring judgment upon America. It's going to bring judgment upon the world. It's already started. Living in pleasure. Now for a season, living in sin, fornication, adultery, wickedness, drunkenness, covetousness, living for this world, serving the God of this world, serving the system of Satan, wickedness. That's the God, that's the world that he's the God over, the world of wickedness. Now you know the pleasures of sin would be wonderful if you could just sin and be no judgment for it. People say, that's why people don't want to believe in God. That's why people don't want to believe in a creator. They want to believe in evolution. They want to believe in the Big Bang Theory. Why? Because if evolution is true and the Word of God is not true, there's no judgment to come. They can live in sin and live ungodly and just die like an animal and it's all over. No, after death for you is the judgment. And for I. The judgment of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. And the death, the second death, is the death of eternal separation from God. As we tell our young people, marriage is honorable. Marriage is for those who want to commit themselves together as man and wife until death do them part. But the Word of God says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God would judge. And this world is parading sin, parading adultery, parading fornication as if it's nothing. It's pleasure. It's the thing to do. It's for the in crowd. It's for the young generation. God says, I will bring them to judgment. I will judge them. Oh, beloved, pleasure for a season. Oh, but then, as it says in Malachi, then shall you discern between the righteous and the wicked. When? At the coming of the Lord. Think about the wicked and think about these verses. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Every unbeliever will stand at this judgment. Every reprobate will stand at this judgment. Every wicked person who's never believed in Jesus Christ and been cleansed by the blood of Christ. As we sung that song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." If your sins have not been washed away, you will be at this judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Beloved, when you think about standing before an omnipotent God, a God who has all power in heaven and earth, a God who's the creator of this world, a God who is majesty, a God in whom the angels cover their face, a God in whom the heavens fled away, whose power, when He comes to judge, it's going to be a day of judgment and wrath. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Beloved, remember, every person who is an unbeliever will be judged according to their works. What does that mean? The way you live is how you'll be judged. I do believe personally, this is my personal conviction, that there will be decrees of hell. Some will suffer more than others according to their how they lived. A reprobate serial killer who kills innocent people will suffer more than someone who doesn't. I really believe that. If not, why would they be judged according to their works? According to their actions? According to their sins? God will deal with them individually. Each one. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. You hear that? Again, ask yourself the question. Why is God judging every man according to their works? It has to do with punishment. I do believe. Yes, all will be punished in hell. Yes, all will be in hell. But, oh, beloved, I believe God will judge everyone according to the life they lived. It even pays for a moral person to live a moral life who's not even a believer. Because the more wicked you live, I believe the greater will be your judgment. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And he says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, beloved, you can ask yourself the question. There's a difference between those who serve God and those who don't. We call the proud happy, but there's coming a day. Then, judgment will show the difference between those who serve God and those who don't. And beloved, this is reality. This will happen one day as sure as I'm standing here in this pulpit. Judgment will happen. Judgment will happen. God will judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness. And God is a God of wrath. Those who are unbelievers, those who are the fearful, will suffer the wrath of God throughout eternity, for eternity, for eternity. It's serious. And oh, thank God, as we look in a few moments, at believers. And Jesus gave some illustrations in the Word of God. He said, "Brother Rhodes, why are you preaching this message this morning?" Because we need to think about this, to think soberly. Life is serious. Matthew 13:40. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This is our coming judgment. Matthew 25:41, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, I want to bring out a statement to you. All Christians sin. We're not perfect. And the world sin. You say, what's the difference then? We don't habitually sin. Our life is not a pattern of just sinning. We do fall occasionally, and we confess it, and ask God to forgive us, and we get up and we go on. There's a difference. They follow sin and love every minute of it. We have a conviction. We have sorrow. We have guilt for our sins, and we look to Christ for cleansing. They just keep loving it and living in sin and more sin, and adding sin to sin, adding wrath unto wrath unto the day of judgment. Jesus said also in Mark 9:43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This he's talking spiritually, mortification of mortifying the flesh. We are to mortify the eye. Even Job made a covenant that he wouldn't look upon a virgin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Oh, we all have to deal with it. Now let's look at the Christians, the servants of the true and living God. You've seen the picture of those who don't serve God. It's not a pretty picture. Now let's look at those who serve the true and living God, who turn from idols to serve the true God. You and I were serving idols. We were worshiping ourselves. We were following the God of this world. We were living in sin. We were living in all these things. But we've been washed. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness? If the Lord should mark iniquity, who could stand? There's not an individual in this congregation, if God judged us according to our merit, who could stand in the presence of God and not be condemned. We'd all be condemned into the lake of fire if we stood in our own righteousness. But thank God, as believers, we have put our faith and our hope and our trust in the person of Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's look at the Word of God now for the servants of this, servants who are living for that world. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Beloved, you may be poor in this world, you may have nothing, but I want to tell you something. You have an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Whether you have a lot in this world, if God blesses you with physical things in this world, praise God. All of us are rich in this country compared to India and China and some of those nations. They're blessed if they have some rice to eat the next day. We have so much to be grateful for. Our inheritance is in Christ. Blessed be God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yes, you have many riches. Your riches are in Jesus Christ. Our treasure is in heaven. You know, the parents lay up for the children. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, there's where the rich man who has his trust in riches, his heart was in his riches. Your heart and my heart should be in heaven in Christ. He should be our riches. The riches that we have in this world, God blesses us with riches. What are they for? Are they for our gratification? Thank God that God gives us things to enjoy. He said He gives us all things to riches to enjoy. But we shouldn't be so greedy that we want all our money and all our things that we have just for self. Like the rich man, the fool, who just built bigger barns and bigger barns and just built everything was for him. Beloved, when we receive things and God blesses us with financial things, it's to share it and to help spirits of the kingdom of God. That's the difference. We're not living just for self. We're living for God. Now, there's no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Our life is not one of a fleshly walk. You say, but I have trouble with the flesh. We all do. But we're walking in the Spirit, and we're battling with the flesh. Warfare with the flesh. If you're not having a warfare and you can live in the flesh and enjoy it, then you haven't really been changed in your soul. Now we have what? Manifold temptations. 1 Peter 1:6 says, wherein greatly you rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yes, the Christian life can be very heavy sometimes. Very, very distressful. Satan and the world can bring temptations upon us, which can, they're manifold, they're many, and they can be very grievous to the child of God. And we all have to face those, every one of us. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You say, why do we suffer? For the honor and glory of God. That's why. That we might be purified, that we might, all the tin and the gross might be purged out of our lives, and that we might be found to the honor and glory of God, and that we might, people might see Jesus in our lives and bring honor and glory to God through the trials we go through. But then, now we're going through the trials, but then there's that after the judgment, God shall wipe away all tears. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He would dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, that's the condition of God's people who serve Him. And those who don't serve Him are in hell fire with the gnashing of teeth, with the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And beloved, can you discern between the righteous and the wicked? To them that serve God and to them that don't. Yes, they may have their gold chains, they may have their money, they may have all the riches of this world, but there's coming a day to God haters, God rejecters, God despisers of judgment. In other words, there's a payday someday. Now we as Christians, we have no certain dwelling place. It says in Hebrews 11:16, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Prepared for them a city. Isn't that wonderful? We have no dwelling place, but God has prepared for us a city. You know, Peter says that we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're aliens. This is not our home, beloved. You know, Jesus said in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. Now we have temptations. We have many tears. Oh, how we sometimes we cry over our children, over our loved ones, over misfortunes, over debt. About death, when loved ones are called home early, disappointments of life, heartaches, the effects of sin upon those we love. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our afflictions are only for a moment compared to eternity, compared to a dot in an ocean. While we look at not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything in this world that we see, that we have, that we can hold to. Tangible. Homes. Property. Cars. Boats. Money. Whether it be stocks and bonds or money in the bank. It's transitory. Temporal. It's only for a little while, and you'll be gone, and it'll belong to someone else. Yes, you've labored and you worked and you strive and labored to get what you got, and in a moment, it's like the fool, the rich fool, it's no longer yours. Oh, beloved. Oh, if we could just learn the truth of that. Only for a little season. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. We do have that. Christian life is not all fun and games. We live in a real world. We live in a world where there's Satan, where there's evil, where there's ungodliness. We live in a world where Satan is the god of this world in the sense of the wickedness of it. And we have to face the trials of everyday life like everyone else as Christians, as the believers do. But we face the world, we face these things with God. The world, the unbeliever, has to face it in their own. They don't have God. The servants of this world one day will hear this said in Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed. Now this is for the servants of that world. I'm sorry, the children of God. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Beloved, we're going to hear that one day when we stand before God. Blessed, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Aren't we looking forward to that day? Not because we're worthy, all because of grace. Then the servants of this world will hear this, Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you say, well, if hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, how do unbelievers get in there? Because they follow the god of this world. They worship the god of this world. They commit and live in the kingdom of Satan, which is wickedness and ungodliness. And all these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Is it vain to serve God? When the devil whispers in your ear, oh, it's vain to serve God, people are going to laugh at you. People are going to make fun of you. When this I'm reading to you this morning, it becomes a reality one day when we stand before God and you stand in judgment. At that day, it will be serious. At that day, it will not be funny. At that day, you will stand in trembling before a holy God. Here's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:5. He says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you this morning are not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is your fate. This will happen to you. You will be judged, and you will be facing the judgment and wrath of God. It's serious to be an unbeliever. It's serious to live in sin, because there's a judgment coming. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Brother Roger spoke on the power of God last week. That same God of all power will bring forth His wrath and power and will judge every reprobate, every unbeliever forever and forever and forever and forever in the wrath and hell for eternity. Oh, Satan don't want you to see that picture. The God of love would do that. Beloved, that's as much the Word of God as that God is love. There's a judgment coming to the unbeliever and to those who hate God and those who curse God and those who mock God. Yeah, you can laugh now, you can make jokes now, you can make fun now, but all the day when you stand before Him in trembling and fear, there no longer, you will be very sober in that day. And in closing, Paul says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, believers, we do go through many tribulations in this world. But one day, after the judgment, you enter into the joy of the Lord and all the glory that God has prepared for you and I. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more trials. All the former things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation, a new heaven, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Paul's admonition in Romans 10 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Oh, isn't it hard sometimes not to waver? We all have trouble with that, be honest. We're all affected with the world. Be honest with yourself. Brother Rhodes is. You are. We feel the drawing power of the world. Yes, it has its attraction. But Paul says, oh, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need to encourage each other to good works. We need to encourage each other. Sin is not... As parents, we need to warn our children that remember, sin has a payday someday. Young man, young lady, you will give an account to God. Oh, beloved, we don't take sin seriously like we should, as we should. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, I might offend my child. I might offend my cousin. I might offend my brother. I might offend my sister. It's better to offend them and not never tell them the truth. If we love them, we should tell them the truth. Your course of life is a course of destruction. No, I know it's hard. It's hard to be honest with those we love. He says to you and I, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and much more the more as we see that day approaching. Beloved, as you see the judgment coming, we should be assembling more, we should be warning others, we should be praying and interceding for those we love. And here's the text that I began with and closing with, Malachi 3:18. Then shall you return when it's all over and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Beloved, you can see the difference. It pays. It pays to serve the true and living God. We don't merit it. We don't earn it. It's all by grace. It's all by Jesus Christ. It's all by salvation. But I want you to know this life we're living in this world, this course of sin and ungodliness and wickedness, there's a day coming when God will judge this world in righteousness. May we pray. Our gracious Father, so solemn is Thy Word. And we hear these things and sometimes they're like a water on a duck's back. It just rolls off our back. We don't really hear. Jesus told us to take here how we hear. Oh, Father, may these truths become serious to us, we pray. To us as believers, may we not envy the wicked and the ungodly and the unrighteous as they live a lifestyle of wickedness, prosperity. Oh, because we know their end. Their end is destruction. And oh Lord, though we may be like Lazarus, poor and have nothing, oh, that will be translated into that kingdom, to that heaven, that city whose builder and maker is God. And as our beloved Paul wrote, Father, that the suffering of this world cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed unto us. Lord, help us to hold fast our profession. Though we fail Thee many times, though we allow the flesh so many times to get the upper hand, but, oh, Lord, I thank You that there's repentance, that we can confess our sins and we can forsake our sins. And Lord, we can have forgiveness and walk in peace with God by confession and turning away from sin. Now, bless us, Lord, as we sing our closing hymn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.